and 31. This has the story of Balaam. And if you ever want to just have a laugh, if you want to be uplifted from something that is rather, I consider it hilarious, with something pretty funny, take a look at this story about Balaam. Now, I'm not gonna teach about Balaam. I just want to use a phrase out of this verse, okay? And I'll have you say the phrase when we get to it. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Say that with me. In the way. And his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Can you see it? Praise God. Now, that would be a frightening appearance of an angel. And the sword drawn in his hand would be something you would want to pay attention to. And no wonder he fell flat on his face. But in the way is what I want to emphasize here tonight. Obstacles. How do you deal with them? How do you take care of going around or over or under or through an obstacle? I'm thankful that the Lord helps us with that. Now, here's an amazing thing. The Frenches had a trailer house in the front of the property where we live now. And the power pole that was there for their trailer house was no longer needed, so it got cut to about the height of the pulpit here. And the anchor cable that was down in the ground was sticking up, you know, with its eye so that the cable could be attached to the pole when it was up high. For 32 years, I mowed around those obstacles. And this year, I finally realized I can cut that pole off, I can bury that cable, and I can mow right over it. I hope you don't question the intelligence of your pastor. But oh, it feels good to go right over that. And speaking of the mower, I parked it outside in the summer, and I had a nice cover that had Velcro, not Velcro, what are those stretch cords called?
Bungee cords
in the seam. And I'd stretch that over, snap those bungee cords on, and protected it from the rain really well. And then I stretched it out and lifted it off until I finally realized, why don't I just park it under the overhang in front of the garage, out of the rain? Then I don't have to stretch that cover over it and then stretch it to remove. Not a big deal, but finally figured it out. Saved myself 2.5 minutes of work. You know, these bushes out here, I noticed as I was driving up Swanson that it took a long time before the sign was visible. Not a long time, but you know what I mean. You almost had to be right in front of it before you saw it. So I cut down several of the trees and bushes out here so that the sign is more visible, at least a half second before you get to it. Now, more need to be trimmed out of the way so it's more easily visible for our guests that we're inviting, those families with little children, for our Sunday school teachers, be able to recognize where our sign is. Amen. We'll be able to do that. Obstacles. You got to take care of them. You got to work with it. Balaam, we'll just touch on him for a minute. The angel stood in the way. And what tickles me is the donkey talking. Now that's a miracle, obviously, and it's not funny, but it is funny. What did he sound like? How did he move his mouth? Did his ears twitch back and forth? Did a frown appear on his face? What did the two servants think about hearing a donkey talking? The two servants were with Balaam. And then what did they think of Balaam talking to the donkey? Yeah. And Balaam fell flat on his face. That phrase kind of tickles me too. Did they fall flat on their face? Did they? Maybe they didn't see the angel. I hope they did. An angel with a sword, my word. That would get your attention. But flat on his face. It's interesting how phrases from the Bible from thousands of years ago appear in writings yet today. Have you read that phrase somewhere, flat on his face? Have you said that phrase? Yeah. So there's quoting the Bible. Dealing with barriers to a better spiritual life is what I'm focusing on here tonight. What's in the way? And we can't ignore them. We can't ignore the obstacles. God's going to help us go around them, go under them, go over them, go through them, because he wants us to do the victory like the verses you were reading. Amen. To bring us into that place. Sin and temptation, big barriers. Habits and addictions, things that we struggle with individually. The devil and his deceptions. Oh, goodness, they're running rampant in our world today. But we've got to be able to deal with them. And then being at leisure and even being lazy. Those are barriers. And self-examination is very, very important in our walk with God. It's easy to examine others and their motives or their lack of progress, devotion, whatever, responsibility. But we really need to turn that microscope on ourselves and see where we are. Amen. Because we live in a broken world. And none of us are immune to emotional pain. There's always going to be something that comes our way that creates a problem. And those are barriers too. Hidden hurts from the past can really hinder you. And so you've got to be able to deal with them. And three of them that I want to deal with here tonight is guilt and grief and grudges. And then we'll move on to making it personal because it needs to be personal. I'm not going to call out as a pastor what I see in your life. No, I want you to look at what's in your life and be able to deal with it. Now, guilt comes from mistakes and failures, sin and wrongdoing. Psalm 51 is an incredible prayer by King David after his adultery with Bathsheba. Now, lots of things that are there that could have prevented it, that should have prevented it, but the fact remains he did make that terrible mistake. However, his prayer in Psalm 51 is what we are able to benefit from. But in verse 3 of Psalm 51, he says, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. He perhaps tried to sweep it under the rug, so to speak. He may have thought that because he's the king, he's the highest authority in the land, that no one can make him accountable. He may have thought those things, but I think David's heart as a shepherd was smiting him all along, and he just tried to shrug it off. But he did have to come to the place, my sin is ever before me, I can't escape it, and I acknowledge my transgressions. I made the mistake. I did wrong. I should not have done those things. And the adultery, the attitudes, the actions, those were things that he could not bury under a royal command. He had to acknowledge them. And he stopped trying to ignore them, and he knew he needed to acknowledge that sin. So dealing with guilt is recognizing it in the first place. Don't minimize it. Don't rationalize it. Don't compromise it. Deal with it. Because just like David found out, it's going to be on your mind. It's going to surface again and again. No matter how you try to cover it up and bury it, it's going to be there. Now, the scripture gives us means and methods to deal with our guilt. And I'm thankful that the Lord paid the price for us. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 24. And Brother Levi, if you can put up the NLT version there of 1 Peter 2 and 24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. He carried them so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Live for what is right. Praise God. And then the double cure, both sin is dealt with and sickness is dealt with. By his wounds, you are healed. Thank God for the double cure. Amen. One is temporal in the sense that it only is in this life, and the other is eternal. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God covered both bases to take care of us, to minister to us. Can memories be healed? Oh, I'm thankful that they can be. Memories can be taken care of, and we can live for what is right. Praise God. Now, Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And again, Brother Levi, if we can look at the NLT. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that change. Verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Praise God. I'm thankful that we don't have to deal with those problems over and over. We recognize they've been cleansed, they've been washed, they've been covered by his blood, and we're taken care of. He paid for and forgave our sins. And we don't have to punish ourselves, but we forgive ourselves, amen, and deal with guilt in that way. And I'm thankful that the Lord provides for us in that way. Now, grief, the most common form of grief is the loss of a loved one. We're praying for the Hu family because a matriarch and their family is gone. And what a loss for them. We can understand how they feel. And that kind of grief is very real. But there are other kinds of grief that can become obstacles. The loss of a job or a position that you had hoped would come your way and you got passed over. You can feel pretty bad about that. The loss of a friendship, a friend that you had for a long time. Misunderstandings, just any number of things that could get in the way and you lose a friend. A prized possession, your home burning down. My goodness, that fire in Hawaii was terrible. We need to pray that any of our churches or any of our brothers and sisters are being affected by that God would help. But it looks awful. And the loss of those kinds of things, I'm sure they're going to be grieving for a time. But God can relieve our grief so that we don't have to relive it. Just take an E out of the word there and change relieve from relive And I thank God that there's the power that's there, because the Lord understands pain and loss. He understands what it feels like to be forsaken. He understands injustice. He understands pain. And so he can relate to what you're feeling as well. And I thank the Lord he can restore our souls. Psalm 23 and 3. And I'm thankful that he can restore, because that's the kind of God he is. Amen. And he can make a difference in our lives so that we don't have to become withdrawn. We don't have to have a party of one called pity. We can move on in the realm that God had us for. Now, David grieved. He grieved for the baby that they lost when Bathsheba became pregnant, and then the baby died. But he accepted what couldn't be changed. You look at what he said in 2 Samuel 12 and 22, and he was fasting, he was weeping, he was showing grief, he was pleading with the Lord to heal the little baby. And when the baby died, his servants were afraid to tell him because he may have really been overwhelmed with grief. But this is what he said: "I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I thought perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me." He recognized it's done. I can't change it. And no matter how much I grieve, that little baby is not coming back. And so he recognized that change was permanent. And in order to heal in his heart and in his mind and in his emotion, he had to just accept what happened. Now, that's hard. There's no diminishing that pain. There's no, time heals all wounds. Not exactly. There's still an emptiness. There's still a pain. There's still the feeling of loss. But to press that down, don't let it keep rising up and becoming an obstacle to you. Press it down. Get it out of the way. Praise God. And then pray up the victory that God wants you to have. That's how to deal with grief and to move into the realm that God is able to provide. Psalm 37 and 5 sounds like a key verse. Psalm 37, 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Those desires of your heart. And he can make things pass on. He can bring to pass what your dreams are, what your hopes are, what your desires are, or he can make them, situations that are negative, he can make them pass on so that they're not an obstacle in your way. We don't focus on what is lost. We focus on what is left. I know that sounds like a cute saying, and it's probably pretty hard to live. I know it's hard to live, but we have to make that focus. What do I have left, Lord? I know that I've suffered loss, but what do I have left? That's what I need to emphasize. That's what I need to continue on in. Because David comforted Bathsheba, because she was grieving too. After all, she's the mother. And no doubt grieving of the sin, the adultery, the problem, and the loss of her husband. And but they had another child, and that child was named Solomon, which sounds like shalom in Hebrew, which means peace. And thank the Lord that he brought peace to their household. Grieving hurts, but we don't let it devastate us. We let the Lord help us with it. Amen. And we believe the rest of our life can be the best of our life if we hold on to his hand and to be strengthened in him and walk on with him. You can grieve over change. Things aren't the same. Things aren't the way they used to be. And, look at the years that have come and gone, and I have to remind myself, this is not 20 years ago. I can't do today what I did 20 years ago. I'll end up hurting myself. And, I can sit and fret and fuss about that, or just realize I've got to have somebody help me. Who can I have help me? And take care of the situation that way. But if you're living, there's going to be change. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. So we can't be resistant to change, because growth requires change. As far as that goes, consider twice the number. Well, let's get carried away here. Consider three times the number that's present here tonight. Consider three times as many people sitting here on a Thursday night. We would do things differently. We couldn't do it the way we've always done it with that large number. Okay, we're going to change. It just has to be that way. And I thank God that we don't have to be resistant to change. I've heard it said that some people are so resistant to change, you could offer them a $50 bill for their 20 and they won't take it, because they're resistant to change. Don't be that way. Now, grudges. I looked up the meaning of grudges on my phone, in the dictionary I have as an app, and it means resentment. It means ill will. And what I was trying to determine is it one way. Is a grudge emotional pain that goes one way? I think it does. I think it only goes from you to someone else. It's not exchanged. It's not mutual. It's something that you are struggling with yourself. And the point is, never allow someone who has hurt you in the past to continue to hurt you in the present. But that's what happens when you carry a grudge. And it's a heavy load. You can replace grudges with forgiveness, because God can help you with that. God can make it possible. But resentment hurts you and not the other person. They probably don't even know you're thinking about it. They're probably not even aware that you're carrying that load. They've just gone on, and so should you. Let the past be the past. Because if you keep rehearsing it, you're going to keep wounding yourself. That's what happens. Amen. Who's the shortest man in the Bible? Don't say your pastor. I'm not in the Bible. The shortest man in the Bible is Bildad, the shoe height. Yep. And Bildad the Shuhite says this in Job 18 and 4. This is the Good News Translation. It's real, real important here. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Okay. So, makes sense for me to recognize that and to deal with that barrier. It's an obstacle. It's in the way. Who has vengeance? It's not you. The Lord says, I will repay. So don't let avenging the grudge eat you up, because that's what it'll do. It's exactly what it'll do. And so you need to make sure you're dealing with that emotional pain. Okay. I found scriptures in Ephesians, three verses in chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, that gives us real good advice. Verse 30 says, don't grieve the Spirit. It reads, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what, Brother Levi, I'll read them in the King James. You put them up in NLT, and we'll just see what the difference is. Ephesians 4 and 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ah, okay. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. I like that. Verse 31 deals with putting things away. Put away, don't keep them. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Ah, that's real good advice. Amen. Verse 32, this is what we are to be like. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the NLT renders it instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So very, very strong words. We've got to let that good shepherd take care of his sheep. You are his sheep. Let him take care of you. Praise God. And we thank the Lord we have that blessing in our lives. Now, there are divine obstacles. Obviously, the angel with the sword was put there by God. Balaam needed to stop and consider what he was doing. And we should be glad that God puts obstacles in our way. Amen. You heard about my situation with the broken axle on my trailer. I was glad that it broke right there at the ramp, pulling the boat out of the water and not going down the road 55 miles an hour. That would have been a terrible accident. So God lets some things happen for our good, doesn't He? Yes. Amen. Even though it's inconvenient, even though it's expensive, even though it's a hardship in some ways, I thank the Lord that He kept His hand upon us and safety. So fences are made to keep things out. They're made to keep some things in. And we thank the Lord for that. There was another angel with a sword, and this time it was flaming. You remember where? Yeah, the garden. Adam and Eve had disobeyed. Adam and Eve were ashamed. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They didn't go running to the presence of God. They were running from it. And then they tried to cover themselves, but at best, it was temporary. So, in order, you know, it sounds kind of harsh for the Lord to escort them out of the garden and to keep the angel with the flaming sword from returning. But remember, there was another tree there that He didn't want them to partake of in their sinful nature, the tree of life. Otherwise, it would have perpetuated that existence, because God had a plan. Praise God. And the innocent animal that was sacrificed to give them clothing was indicative of what was going to happen on the cross, the blood that would be shed so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be covered. Praise God. I think about the direction that Elijah had when he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He had food. He had water. He was by the brook, and the ravens brought him bread. That must have been quite a deal. I don't know if I'd want ravens bringing me bread. I guess if I got hungry enough, I would eat it. Rather they bring me some nice rice. Oh, yeah. The brook dried up. The ravens stopped coming. But the Lord sent him to the widow of Zarephath. Okay. Now, we see Elijah coming and saying, "Do you have any food? I have enough food for my son and I. I'm going to fix it, and then we're going to starve. Well, fix me a cake first." And it's pretty easy to judge Elijah, isn't it? But I want you to understand, the man of God has his faith tested many times as well, especially when it comes to money or asking for money. Takes faith to do that. Takes boldness to do that. So Elijah was being very faithful as well when he said, "Make me a cake first." So she did. And you know the rest of the story. Her meal barrel did not empty. Her oil bottle did not run dry until the end of the famine, the end of the drought. It just kept on and kept on and kept on. Praise God. Don't you know that widow woman had a shouting fit every time she went to that meal barrel? Every time she turned that bottle up and it took care of what she needed to cook because she was obedient. Praise God. And the hand of the Lord that was demonstrated there. Now her son died from sickness, but Elijah prayed and the Lord raised him up. And then Elijah went to Mount Carmel and the challenge there of the idol worshipers. He rebuilt the altar when fire didn't fall on the sacrifice of the worshipers of Baal. He didn't want to use theirs. He rebuilt what should have been there in the first place, that altar of 12 stones. And then he prayed, and the fire fell. Praise God. Then he prayed 7 times on the mountaintop, sending his servant, "Do you see a cloud?" No. And finally, the 7th time, he came back with a report, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." That's pretty small when you're considering the whole sky. And but he recognized, "Let's go, it's going to rain." And oh my, how incredible. And that's why James 5, 17 and 18 are written. As Elijah was a man subject to like passions like as we are, and he prayed. Don't stop praying. Praise God. Believe the Lord. Okay, give heed to the Spirit of the Lord, because God can guide you to open doors, to open hearts, and help you to know when the doors are closed and stop banging on them. Stop trying to beat them down. Turn and go the way that God is directing you to go. In Acts 16, there's an example of the apostle being led by the Spirit. He wanted to go to Asia. What did the Spirit say? No. He wanted to go to Bithynia. What did the Spirit say? No. And finally, he got the call to Macedonia. The man in the vision, "Come over and help us." And he knew that was the direction to go. Praise God. Now, I'm not the Apostle Paul, neither are you, but we can hear what the Spirit says. Because there are people that are lost all around us. People that have no idea what it feels like to be in a service where the Spirit of God is moving so powerfully, so wonderfully, and joy unspeakable just bubbles up in your heart and soul. Amen. And you cannot stand still. They have no idea what that feels like. No, they're going to tip the bottle and fall down. They're going to smoke weed. They're going to pop pills. They're going to do all kinds of stupid things. Because they're trying to find happiness. And you know where it is. So, what obstacles are there that we've got to deal with? Well, we've got to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Amen. Because the Spirit gives us power to witness about Jesus Christ. That ever-increasing sphere of influence begins at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost. Praise God. That ripple effect needs to be there so that it's going to grow. It's going to increase. We stay with the initial message that was given at Jerusalem. We don't depart from that. That's the word. Amen. But we want to see it just continue to spread. Praise God. Acts 15 and 28, to me, gives a strong key. When they were trying to determine what to do, where to go, who to send, they did what seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. They had prayed, they fasted, they sought God, and what seemed good to them and to the Holy Ghost is what they ended up doing. I'm glad we can have a council of godly leaders. Amen. And I'm glad that we can have unity and strength together. Praise God. You know, the direction that God has for us is always forward, of course. And to be able to reach to new ones. I learned in Ketchikan that I can't keep waiting for the ones who are, they've basically said no. They haven't said it to me physically. I haven't heard them say no, but their actions are saying no, right? So why should I keep waiting when I should be reaching out to somebody who may say yes? And I sit down and teach them Bible study. Praise God. And I teach them about repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. To serve the Lord. Because there are some who will receive it. Praise God. And we've just got to keep going. Keep going. Praise God. Overcome obstacles. Okay, here's where it gets personal now. This is where you're looking at what's in the way. What's in the way of you doing the will of God? We know reaching out to people is the will of God. We know that. And yet, there are things that are in the way. What's in the way of you teaching Bible studies? What's in the way of you working in some form or fashion for the kingdom of God? Now, Brother Farmer's Bible study format is just reading Scripture. That is all it is. Scripture after scripture after scripture. You don't even have to have a whole lot of commentary. You just read it. And you might ask them, what does that mean to you? You let them read it if they feel comfortable reading Scripture. Let them see it in black and white or red and white. And just go on. Other studies are valuable too. I really like exploring God's Word. That's my favorite. But the others are important as well. Be sure you've got that card. What's that card called, Brother Levi? We'll just call it a Bible study card. There's a technical name for it, probably. But the card that you can put on your phone, or what do you do with it? You put it behind, and the Bible studies come up on your phone. Praise God. It's amazing. And there's, how many Bible studies do you have on that? Tell us what you have on that card. I know Exploring God's Word is on there. And Into His Marvelous Light. Brother Farmer's Bible Study. It's an amazing resource. God bless Brother Levi for putting that together. And you can carry it in your wallet just like a credit card. And then bring it up on your phone. Is it those three or four? Wow. Oh, that's right. Those videos where the guy's erasing on the whiteboard. I mean, it looks like he's erasing it, but it's showing up on the whiteboard, and he's talking 100 miles an hour. And you've got to put it on pause to be able to emphasize a point. What else? Our website, okay, so that you can access it there as well. Because obviously the font is really small on your phone, and you have to keep, you know, going like that to be able to see it. And it's a little tedious, but so what? You're sharing the Word of God. Amen. And it's very, very helpful. So be sure you have one of those if you haven't gotten one from Brother Levi yet. I'd like for you to avoid random studies of Scripture. You know, just open it and say, oh, let's start right here. If it doesn't have purpose, don't spend time on it. In fact, I'll say don't waste time on it. Use one of those studies. They have a purpose. They have a focus. There's going to be an end result. Praise God. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. So, what's in the way? I'm too busy. No, you're not. You make time for what you want to do, and nothing stands in the way of that. Treat teaching somebody the Bible study that way as well. Amen. And then examine whatever else, because all of us are individuals. We all have situations that we have to deal with and work with. Deal with what's in the way. Praise God. And as far as that goes, using your skills for the kingdom. The maintenance and repair of our building is largely taken care of by Brother Merle. We almost lost him. That's the truth. We almost lost him. And then what? There needs to be young men who are stepping alongside. You don't have to be there the whole time at Brother Merle. Brother Merle is 83 years old. And he works like he's 30 years younger. Just amazing. And he just needs some young men to come alongside for just a little while. And he can explain, this is what we do, this is how you take care of it, and so on. Okay, use your skills for repair and maintenance. Use your skills for technology. Thank the Lord for Brother Levi. And there are others who are spending time behind that soundboard. And we thank the Lord for you, because you're using your skills. And that's the way it needs to be. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. Musical ability. Not easy to get up here in front of the whole congregation and play that keyboard. Not at all. But there are young ladies who are working at it. Praise God. Not easy to hold a microphone and start singing in as a praise singer. Besides that, you got to sign an agreement of how you're going to live. And you got to commit yourself to those principles. And thank God for those who are devoting their musical ability for the glory of the Lord. Helping with church projects, fundraising, outreach. And, you know, we can go on with the list, but you know what I mean there. What's in the way? Well, somebody else is going to do that. Well, the pastor should do it. Okay. Work in Sunday school, work in share group, all of those things. Be faithful, not fitful. Amen. Don't throw a fit, throw a Bible study party. Praise God. And see, because God will make a way. The Lord's going to make a way. Eliezer, remember him? Abraham's servant? He was sent out on a mission. What a mission. You believe in arranged marriages? I do. I believe God arranged a marriage. And I'm so glad that he did. So glad. Praise God. You need to let God arrange your marriage. I'm looking at Lily, not at Amelia. No, not really. Praise God. So Eliezer was sent to find a wife for Isaac. And his comment in Genesis 24:27, I being in the way the Lord led me. Remember, he comes up to this well and he says, let the first lady that I ask to give me a drink of water agree to give me a drink of water and agree to water my camels. So here comes that lady, and he asks her, and she says, I'll give you water, and then I'll give your camels water. Eliezer must have been absolutely amazed that what he asked, probably thinking, this is really of God, it's going to happen, and almost impossible, but God did it. He makes a way. Praise God. Apollos, Acts 18 and 25. Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. This guy had it going. Amazing. A young man who was so intelligent, so eloquent, so able. But his knowledge was limited to the baptism of John. Now, that was a powerful thing. That baptism, it's amazing to me that Apollos adhered to that teaching. In the next chapter, 12 believers in Ephesians knew the baptism of John. They weren't being forgetful. They were walking in repentance. They were living repentance. They knew the strong message that John preached. But that's all they knew. They needed more. And that's what the apostle did for those 12 believers. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did for Apollos. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They took him aside. No doubt, we're fellowshiped with him for a bit, and, you know, thankful for his message and assuring him he was on the right track and all. And then they said, let us show you something more. And praise God, he was not resistant to it. He was open to it. And there are people who are going to be open to your teaching. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to make those invitations. Amen. Even other believers going to other places. You look at any of Brother Billy Cole's reports of Thailand. Huge churches. The pictures are incredible. A big group. It almost looks like a major conference, but it isn't. It's a church in a particular village. And they're made up of converts from other churches. Until he, in frustration, prayed, God, what's going to bring the Thai people to you? They're Buddhists. They don't even know who Jesus is. You can't say, well, Paul says, because they're going to ask, who's Paul? They're even going to ask, who's Jesus? They don't know. The Lord showed him it was signs and wonders that were going to make them pay attention. And sure enough, Brother Cole focused on prayer for healing, prayer for miracles, and the hand of God to be demonstrated. Now, he didn't feel he had to be the one who was going to bring the miracles and bring the results. God is going to honor his word. We're not sufficient in ourselves. I'm not the one that pours out his spirit. No. Don't let yourself get caught in that trap. Trust the word. Amen. Now, the conditions of this world concern people today. And there's lots of people voicing their opinions that almost sound like hopelessness. When you hear that, offer hope from the scripture. Amen. Because 1 Peter 3:15 says, when people ask you for the reason of the hope that is within you, be sure you answer them. Meekness and fear. Be sure you are sharing that with them. Because this world needs hope. And the Bible has a lot to say that would offer hope to a people who are fed up with the way things are going. And feel like, oh my, what is this world coming to? Amen. And assure them, like Sister Glover said, well, it's going to last for 1,000 more years. We know that. And they might say, what? How's it going to last for 1,000 more years? One glacier in Juneau is melting, and the whole world's going to be flooded because the glaciers are going to melt. Chicken Little's all over the place.
The sky is falling.
Well, okay, here's what I want you to get from this now, besides looking at what's in the way. God wants to use you. That's his plan. He doesn't have any other plan. Angels aren't going to do it. You're going to be the ones to do it. He wants to use you. And let me assure you, your knowledge of the Bible right now is far more than the average Christian out there. Far more. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to do all kinds of extra study. We thank God for Purpose Institute. Thank God for those who are involved in that. And Sister Belinda's doing some other work online and so on. But right now, your knowledge and your experience is far greater than the majority of Christians that you will encounter. Don't belittle yourself. Don't put yourself down. God is using you. Praise God. And so we'll end with this verse. Stand with me, please. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Now, he's not saying put yourself down, dig yourself a hole and jump in it. He's not saying anything like that. Our sufficiency is of God. In other words, God wants to use you. God wants to take you and put you in the harvest. Look at verse 6. He made us able ministers of the New Testament. I will make you fishers of men. Praise God. And you will be able. You will minister. Amen. That's you. Look in the mirror and say, that's me. Uh-huh. Not, oh. That's our tendency. Not me. Yes, you. What's in the way? Let's come and pray.